The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
XM Channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can be a part of the Max Kellerman Show Nation. Be a part of the Max Kellerman Show Nation. I don't like it when it says the Max Kellerman Show Nation. I just like plain Max Kellerman Show Nation. It flows better. On the Dr. Pepper call-in line. See, that makes sense. That flows. The Dr. Pepper call-in line. But just Max Kellerman Nation. Raj, these details are important. 888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is back. Ooh, the schedule this weekend. So are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. All right, so here, you know, we had a whole show planned on First Take today, and, you know, you're trying to make lemonade out of lemons this time of the summer. A lot of, like, kind of who's the best athlete never to win an MVP kind of, like, evergreen sort of topics a little later in the show. We had some that I was interested in getting to, like, you know, if Saquon Barkley has a big year, is he the biggest, is he the most popular athlete in New York? Like, bigger than Durant in New York, right? They were like kind of, but they were sort of evergreen kind of topics, meaning they you could do that on any day. It's not really. And then all of the sudden, in the middle of our show, or right in the beginning, really, Cam Newton was cut by the New England Patriots, first reported by the Boston Globe. Cam Newton will now hit free agency and will likely have offers from other teams looking for a veteran quarterback. But as a starter, he's going to learn a new offense all of a sudden right now as a starter. What jobs are available right now even? At any rate, Mac Jones is the starter. Brian Hoyer is the backup. And Mac Jones earned the job, according to everyone. Now, what these guys do in practice is significant. I thought Cam, of either Mac Jones or Cam Newton, I thought the most impressive outing I saw, because it came against the ones, by the way, was Cam Newton's preseason game two. And at that point, I said, okay, now clearly Cam must be in the lead, right? Maybe he wasn't. In practice, in joint practices, you know, Mac was showing out, according to all reports. But how was the door even left open once Cam, at least in my book, took the lead? Well, he had to go through COVID protocols, which only apply to unvaccinated players. And Cam came out and said, it's a personal decision or a private matter. We're in a public pandemic. It's really a public health concern. But okay. But then going through the protocols only the unvaccinated go through, it's fair to infer from this that he has not been vaccinated. And this is after COVID tanked his season last year, up against long odds, catastrophic injury, missed time, new team, the defense opted out because of COVID, the offense was bereft of any weapons, there was no preseason, no practice, new system, like et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He still came two plays away from going 9-7. But early on looked like a different quarterback than later in the season because he got COVID. That wasn't enough to convince him, apparently, to get vaccinated. It left the door open. Mac Jones walked through it. But let's not understate what Mac Jones did. You know, Mac Jones, listen, when was the last time the Patriots or Bill Belichick drafted a quarterback in the first round? He never does. First round, he drafted a quarterback. Nick Saban asked Adam Schefter about this on the air on First Take today. How much does the Nick Saban of it all play into Belichick taking a quarterback in the first round? You know, it plays a part, right? And Mac Jones, by the way, was an, like, think about the number one draft picks in recent years. Baker Mayfield, one overall. Kyler Murray, one overall. Joe Burrow, one overall. Trevor Lawrence, one overall. Forget about how you project them to the pros. In college, were those guys on a different level than Mac Jones in college? Was Baker on a different level than Mac Jones? Mac Jones did everything he could do. His junior, his final season in college, 4,500 yards, 41 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and won a national title. How do you do better than that? Even when he lost the year before in the Iron Bowl, right? He put up great numbers. You can't, like was Joe Burrow even better? Yeah, Joe Burrow had the greatest college season, you know, punctuated by the greatest college game ever played by anyone. And beat Trevor Lawrence, by the way. So maybe you don't put Mac Jones number one on that list, but he's in the mix in that list of all these number one picks recently. The reason he goes lower down is because I would say mobility as a quarterback now, being a dual threat quarterback, is what height in the NBA used to be. Remember, like listen, Michael Jordan went third KD went second behind Greg Oden. There are lots of examples of, well, that guy looks like a dangerous two-way wing, you know, the kind of guy who winds up the best player in the league, but some center type gets taken before him. Why? Because however you played in college, there's a basic belief that height is easy to scout in the NBA. We know height plays in a league where the basket's 10 feet in the air. So because that's easier to project into onto the next level, it has a disproportionate impact, influence, disproportional influence on decision makers and where you draft guys. But what we've seen in the NBA is that's changed over time because the tallest guy ain't usually the best. That's the NFL now with dual threat quarterbacks. It's moving in that direction. We project guys in the pros based on not how they did in college, mostly, but how we believe they'll do on the next level. And nowadays, the belief is you need to be a dual threat quarterback. I am in that group. I thought Mac Jones should have gone last of the top QBs, and he did. He went fifth overall among the QBs. After Trevor Lawrence, dual threat. After Zach Wilson, dual threat. After Trey Lance, dual threat. After Justin Fields, dual threat. But if you look at his college career, he's as good as any of those guys. At least he's at the elite most level at college. And then from Saban to Belichick, Bill Belichick does not do what a lot of guys do. They squint and try to see what they want to see, not see the flaws, see the positives, see what they want to see. So a lot of times you see, wait, why did they spend a second round pick on that quarterback? He's no good. Well, we needed a quarterback. That was the best available guy. Belichick doesn't do that. He doesn't waste high round draft picks on quarterback. Like Garoppolo, second round, that's a big deal for him. And by the way, Garoppolo went to a Super Bowl as a starter. Otherwise, he's trying to get deals, even with Brady, sixth round. Once upon a time, he spent a first rounder, the 15th overall pick on this guy. That's not because he's wishing. That's because he sees something. And Mac Jones lived up to it. It's not just Cam leaving the door open. It's Mac Jones seizing the day, seizing the opportunity and making the most of it. If you look at Mac Jones more than doubled his passing yards, 389 to 162. But completion percentage, yards per attempt and everything, it was a virtual dead heat. I guess if Mac Jones wins the job, why keep Cam around? You keep Cam around to be a backup, but if the guy won't get vaccinated, you don't even know if he's going to be available. Not to mention, it seems that Belichick has a real affinity for Cam, the way he competes and all that, the way he leads and competes, and probably wanted to give Cam a chance to go elsewhere. That was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Adam Schefter, why did the Pats cut Cam?
They are so sure of Mac Jones that they felt like it would be unfair to have Cam on the roster. They've got Brian Hoyer, a capable backup there in reserve. And so rather than put Cam in a position that might be a little bit awkward, they thanked him and said, we are ready to go with the youngster. The new Patriot era begins now.
I get it. I'll just remind teams looking for a quarterback, and there aren't that many right now, about Cam Newton. When last seen healthy, his team, which did not have a lot of talent on offense, was 6-2, right? He got hurt in the Pittsburgh game. They were 6-2, and he was completing about 70% of his passes. Now, maybe his shoulder will never be the same, and so therefore he'll never throw the same, Cam Newton. And they're like, but what teams, when you look out there, is Fitzpatrick a better quarterback than Cam Newton in Washington? That's Cam's old coach. Fitzpatrick will look great for 3 or 4 weeks and then terrible for a couple weeks. If you have Fitzpatrick as your quarterback, it's because you don't have a franchise quarterback. So you got a guy who's a starter. He can be a starter and an amazing backup quarterback. But that's because you don't have a franchise quarterback. Ron Rivera has had a lot of success with Cam Newton at quarterback, and this team has a real defense. You sure? That Fitzpatrick's better than Cam? How about this? Do we know Jameis is better than Cam? We sure about that? That's the Saints quarterback. I actually like Bridgewater. I'm higher on Bridgewater than a lot of guys in Denver. But I look at the Eagles. You know, they're hoping Jalen Hurts works out. And if not, they have Gardner Minshew, who's a real guy. Are either one of those guys for sure better than Cam Newton? And I have another thought. I have another thought about this. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Could the Texans be a landing spot for Cam? I'm not thinking Texans. I'll fill you in my thought process in a second. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reports The Texans are not expected to trade quarterback Deshaun Watson by the league's 4 p.m. deadline, 4 p.m. Eastern roster cutdown deadline. Adam Schefter, what options do the Texans have with Deshaun Watson? Adam Schefter. Options for Deshaun
I think everybody's
Watson.
Watching Deshaun Watson and how the Houston Texans handle his particular situation at a time where there are investigations going on with the FBI, the Houston Police Department, and the NFL. The Houston Texans would be open to dealing him, but there's also a school of thought that they could wait and just hold him on the roster, keep him inactive this season, and decide to trade him after this season. But they seem to have to make some sort of decision about whether they're going to trade him or carry him on the roster here in the next 24 hours, with teams having to have their rosters at 53 players by the time we get to 4 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday.
There's so much here. So, do I think Cam winds up with the Texans? I don't, but listen to who I think he could wind up with. If the trade, and I always thought it made sense, Deshaun Watson to the Dolphins, because I'm looking at Tua like he might be a good quarterback. I don't think he's going to be a great one. Deshaun Watson went on the field's a great quarterback. Top 5, 6, 7 quarterback in the league. You could even argue a little higher. Deshaun Watson on that Dolphins team with that defense, and now they have Waddle. Ooh, it's a lot. But who would have to be involved? And by the way, Deshaun Watson has over 20 allegations. Sorry, over 20 different women alleging, a massage therapist from Instagram, alleging bad things about him. So who knows when the next time he'll get on the field is. But if the trade is Tua plus some draft capital plus some players for Deshaun, who's now a distressed asset, now the Dolphins don't have Tua, but they also may not have Deshaun for a minute. Maybe there's an opening in Miami, same division as the Patriots, for Cam Newton, who could plug and play in Miami pretty soon, you'd assume, on a team with a strong defense. On the Goodyear Hotline, Joe Theismann, former Super Bowl-winning quarterback. Joe, welcome back to the show. Thanks for coming back. What's your reaction to Cam being cut?
I was a little surprised. I wasn't surprised that Mac Jones got the job, but evidently Mac showed him enough, obviously, to win the job. Cam missed a bit of time, and Bill struggled a little bit, I think, with the way he played last year. I mean, I really think New England's counting on their defense to carry him through this, and he feels like a young quarterback who doesn't make mistakes, which was a big problem last year, will give his team a better chance to win. So, you know, it's it eliminates a distraction for sure.
Talking to Joe Theismann on the Max Kellerman Show. Go ahead, Joe.
When you have such a high-profile individual as Cam, and, you know, he's the number two, there's always going to be those questions at every press conference. You know, what's he like? What's going to happen? What's going forward? So I think it's a good move for New England going forward to be able to settle an issue that if Cam was there.
Joe, after so many years of the NFL kind of, and I think there was some racial motivation, whether people realized it or not, of like, you can't have a running quarterback. Well, why not? He does an extra thing. Well, because then he won't develop pocket awareness, whatever else. Now we've shifted to a league that so values mobility and dual threat that I almost liken it to like the NBA, how the NBA used to overdraft for height and size when there were better, smaller players. They do it less now. But the NFL, like Mac Jones, when you look at him in college, won a national title, set records for like completion percentage and stuff, yards per attempt, was leading the NCAA, all those kind of things. And yet people didn't project him into the pros ahead of the other four quarterbacks taken ahead of him. I think mostly because those guys are all dual threat and he's not. Are we now over-evaluating dual threat, like mobility at the quarterback position?
Max, I think it's an individual preference by a coordinator and by a head coach. Mm-hmm. Who fits into the system you want to run? It's like Trey Lance in San Francisco. You know, Jimmy basically isn't a runaround guy. He is. Lance is. You look in Chicago with Justin Fields. Obviously, there's a great contrast between Justin and Andy Dalton. And so, to me, I really think that coaches think that they have somebody who can move around. The first priority is, can you throw the ball accurately? Can you complete passes? And do you take care of the football? If you happen to have athleticism on top of it, that's a bonus. But I think that's where Mac Jones has that advantage. He's not going to be a runaround guy, but neither was Tom Brady. Neither was Peyton Manning. I mean, you look at the quarterbacks that have won championships, the larger percentage of them, most of them are pocket passers.
Yeah, well, that trend is starting.
Rare individual.
Yeah, that trend, you know, nowadays is starting to, it looks like it's starting to change, but time will tell. Talking to Joe Theismann on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Obviously, the prerequisite is, can you make all the throws? Is your arm strong enough? And
right.
Are you accurate enough? But then probably
right.
the most
that's
important.
The prerequisite.
That's the prerequisite. You don't even consider a guy if you can't do that. But then the most important thing is decision making. How good are your decisions? How fast can you make them? And it looks like Mac Jones checks all those boxes. What are the, do you think, or what are your expectations of this Patriots team now that signed a lot of talent on the offense? They got two tight ends, Hunter Henry hurt as usual, but they got two talented tight ends. You have a great coach. You have a great offensive coordinator. You got your defense back. You have a good offensive line. What are the, now that they have Mac Jones, a guy who makes good decisions, makes them quickly, throws the ball accurately, can throw it down the field, takes care of the ball, doesn't turn it over, 41 touchdowns against four interceptions his last year when he won the national title at Alabama. What should the expectations of the Patriots be this year?
I think they can go toe-to-toe with Buffalo. I think Buffalo is one of those teams you have to think about that's going to be in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
They're that good defensively. Josh Allen has really matured into quite the quarterback. In regards to what we were talking about, sort of going back a few years, you know, the mobility aspect of it, but he's been better now protecting the ball. I think New England, you know, I don't think they liked not being in the conversation about the Super Bowl a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill went out and did a lot of things to make this football team better. That division, that's a fun division. I mean, you got a new quarterback with the Pats, new one with the Jets. I don't think you're going to have a new one. I think Tua is going to stay and wind up in Miami. And I heard you talking a little bit about the Deshaun Watson situation. There's so many questions with regard to him. And of course, Miami, I mean, Houston's asking for an arm and a leg if you're going to get him. So that's probably not going to happen this year. And then you have to wait and see what his availability is to be able to play going forward. But it's going to be a division with a lot of young quarterbacks. I really think the Pats can compete in the AFC straight up, just like they have before.
Yeah, it seems to me, like, why shouldn't they be able to? You mentioned the AFC East. What an interesting division where the one team you look at, you go, okay, they're out of it, is super interesting in terms of their future. Like, Zach Wilson is a baller. They got Vera Tucker in the draft. Oh, in the draft, you almost, if you're the Jets, you're almost happy you're drafting second, so the pressure's not there to take Trevor Lawrence, and you get to take Zach Wilson, which they did. But the Vera Tucker, I think, Joe, was a huge draft pick because he might work as a tackle, let alone you feel very confident he'll work at guard. And when you have Becton and Vera Tucker on the left side, young, starting their careers with Zach Wilson back there, you know, the Jets are the only team that aren't going to compete, I think, in the AFC East, and they might be the most interesting one.
They're going to be exciting to watch, and it's sort of, you know, I grew up in Jersey, and Joe was my idol, Mammoth, and so I guess you could call me a Jet fan going all the way back to when I was a kid a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it's exciting to see what they've done. I think it's been a rotating situation. I think Sam Darnold, by the way, in Carolina, could be the next Ryan Tannehill. I mean,
yeah.
Ryan down in Miami, nobody gave him any respect at all. Couldn't play. He was a bust. All of a sudden, he goes to Tennessee. He's a game away from a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, can that same thing happen in Carolina to be able to sort of reignite Sam's career? And then you got Carson in Indianapolis. I mean, 11 teams are going to start different quarterbacks this year, Max.
It's amazing. 11, a third of the league? More than a third of the league.
Is going to start a different quarterback than they did a year ago. And you know, other than Fitz being the more senior member in Washington, everybody else has got a lot of years ahead of them.
Well, think about this. Talking to Joe Theismann here on the Max Kellerman Show. Joe Theismann, in case you're wondering, a former Super Bowl champion. When you think about the talent in the NFL, you have five. I said that this draft class could be the best ever. Like, let's wait and see. It's a long way to go. But after one preseason game, it's like, oh, my God. All five of these guys in the first round could wind up being longtime starters, at least health permitting. But that means five new guys into a league that got Justin Herbert, and we'll see about Deshaun Watson and Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray, to say nothing of guys like Daniel Jones. Are they going to work out? You mentioned Sam Darnold. Are they going to work out or not? The whole league, like, one of the reasons you look at Cam Newton, you go, well, where does he start, is there's suddenly an enormous amount of quarterback talent in the league, Joe.
There really is, and a lot of it's young, and a lot of it's fun to watch. And again, because and I think this really, because you're seeing so many play so early in their careers, is there's been a transition from the collegiate game to the professional game. There was a time when you had to come into the NFL and learn, quote unquote, how to play at the NFL, how to play the NFL system. Today, those systems are integrated. Whatever you did in college, we're going to incorporate in the game plans now because that suits you and your athletic ability or your decision-making process. Or you come, you know, we all know Nick's relationship with Bill. You come out of a place where, you know, the system, the terminology will be easy, an easy transition for you at the quarterback position. So with all this young talent, it's exciting. There was probably 5-6 years ago, we were scratching our heads saying, where are these guys coming from?
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting, Max, because you bring up a point regarding this particular class, you know, what makes a great quarterback class? You know, I came out of school in 71 where you had Archie Manning, Jim Plunkett,
yeah, pretty good.
Dennis Dumit, Chuck Hixon.
Yeah.
You know, Dan Pastorini. We had a pretty good group of guys. Then the 83 class. I'm always curious when somebody says this could be the this.
Well,
could
okay,
be the
83 class,
ever.
Joe. What I'm referring to with 83 class top heavy. I don't think you can ever get that. It's tough to match that, right? Three Hall of Famers.
Absolutely. Yeah,
but this I can't remember one, Joe, with five guys who went in the first round, and I think all five have a damn good shot to play a long time as franchise quarterbacks. In my experience, like, I've never felt that after preseason game one. I felt that this year. You know, that's what I'm reacting to.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. And it's funny, too, is I've always said this. The quarterback position is the single most dependent position on the team. How many of these guys, this is sort of looking at our crystal ball going forward, how many of these guys will remain on the team that drafted them, or will they be like a Jim Plunkett?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe two teams removed wind up winning a championship when you get all those elements around you that allow the team to be able to be successful. How good will your defense be to be able to protect your youth? This is why I like New England. I think their defense will be really good with the guys that opted out that are coming back, with the draft choices they made, with the additions to the football team.
Yeah.
You have to look at New England and say, they're going to be knocking on the door again. You just got to believe that.
Not to mention the O-line.
So Joe, how many guys will stay on their particular teams?
That's Joe, always a pleasure talking to you. Great stuff. Thank you very much for coming back. Look forward to talking to you again real soon. Appreciate it, brother.
You bet, Max. Thank you.
This is the Max Kellerman Show, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Coming up, ESPN's top 100 NFL players. That list was released. Wait till you hear where Tom Brady ranks. DoorDash here with the summer of Dash Pass. Right now, Dash Pass members are taking $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. Need a nightcap? $10 off. Got a cough? Get relief delivered for less. Want to surprise your crush? Send a gift and save. Try Dash Pass for free and get special savings, exclusive menu items, and $0 delivery fees year-round. Get more from your neighborhood now with Dash Pass in the DoorDash app and stay cool out there. Terms and conditions apply.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80. That's my favorite Outkast song. That's right. You got a good fit for Cam? Starting somewhere? Backing up? 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Joe Theismann joined me on the Goodyear Hotline in the last segment. With you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. Okay, so there's a top 100 NFL players list, and this is predictive for the year 2021, okay, where they're predicting how they're going to do this year. Brady's ranked 20th, and the, what, seventh quarterback? Is that a fair ranking of Brady? I think if you bring prediction into it, it is. I'd have Brady third because I'm out of the predicting Brady's demise business, famously. But I think that it's fair to say, given that he's 44 and he's by years the oldest ever great quarterback, right? The oldest ever elite quarterback. He just won the Super Bowl. He threw 40 touchdowns, not a whole lot of interceptions, led a team to the Super Bowl. The other side of the ball there was, or on the other side, there was, you know, first Aaron Rodgers, then Patrick Mahomes. Tom Brady's team won. Year one in the NFC at the age of 43. Now he's 44. Is it possible that given the trajectory of some of the other players on this list, Dak Prescott and others, Russell Wilson, and given Brady's age, he could drop? Because right now, number one, two, and three at quarterback is one is Mahomes, two is Rodgers, three is Brady. And also, he's in that top tier. Then there's a little bit of a drop-off, like apologies to Josh Allen and some others. Right now, I'd say he's third. But to say a full season of brutal NFL, you know, later, now at the age of 44, looking at his age 45 season, do I think it's possible that a couple of quarterbacks sneak in ahead of Brady? Yeah, I do. I think that's fair. Now, Kyler Murray at number 21, ahead of Lamar at number 22. The thing about Kyler Murray is people forgetting this. This is one of the reasons I like Arizona a lot this year. Kyler Murray, before he got hurt, remember he hurt his shoulder. Before he got hurt and he was running the ball a lot, was a very dominating quarterback. He was a weapon, running and throwing. Then he hurt his shoulder, and so they ran him less. It's understandable because you want to protect the guy. But now the effectiveness of his running, which is elite. I mean, Lamar Jackson's an even better runner, but that's not Lamar Jackson's an even better runner basically than anyone who ever played any sport, right? Like Kyler Murray's an elite runner as a quarterback, elite. And so now you're taking a major weapon away from Kyler and trying to protect the shoulder. And then, of course, the passing's not going to be as good because the shoulder's not good. So his play fell off, but that was due to injury. Now you could say, well, as a running quarterback, he'll be, you know, outside the pocket more and more susceptible to injury. But in fact, people who've actually looked at this find you can get hurt. You get hurt in the pocket at least as much as you do out of the pocket as a quarterback, you know. Nevertheless, I'll subscribe to conventional wisdom. A running quarterback is going to be a little more prone to getting hurt. Okay, I'll buy that. And that'll be the reality of Kyler Murray. When he was healthy, both running and throwing, you can say he was a little better than Lamar last year. I don't have a problem with putting him ahead. Lamar is going to have to, and Lamar's passing woes are overstated. He can pass. He can play quarterback, obviously. He won the MVP. But, you know, and then the question becomes like, have they figured Lamar out? It seems to me you want to stop the running backs. What they do is they overload the defensive backfield, the secondary, right? You overload that with fast players, dissuading the backs, encouraging Lamar, but also because of all those defensive backs, you don't have a lot of open targets. And now you got Lamar running, and then you punish him early in the game for running, wear him down, and then. But like even that all depends on you got to score first. It's not an easy formula to beat Lamar Jackson. I mean, maybe there's a formula to beat everyone. Not an easy one to beat Lamar Jackson, which is why he's won so many more games than he's lost in his career. But it's not impossible. We've seen it. The other thing to keep in mind about Lamar, and Kyler Murray hasn't proven this yet, age 21, most accurate passer in the history of football at that age, Lamar Jackson, at least in the NFL, goes to the playoffs, loses, and looks like a deer in headlights in the first half. As bad as you can ever see a quarterback look, but he's very young at the time and he's playing in the playoffs. Second half, he was much better than the first half, but they got trounced. Next year, Lamar Jackson was pretty good in the playoffs. His team lost, and he'd played better in other games, but he won bad. So that's a huge improvement. So game one in the playoffs is a 22-year-old, I guess, at the time. Second half, better than the first half. Second game, better than the first. And then last year, he won a playoff game. That is exactly the trajectory you want to see someone on. Like when people say, is John Gruden on the hot seat? And I'll just point out, yeah, it's taken him a while, but Gruden took over a team with a terrible record, made some trades, had a bad record year one, a better record year two, a .500 record last year. He's trending in the right direction. Same thing with Lamar. Lamar's issue for me is the playoffs. Regular season, he's a great quarterback. Can he win in the playoffs? Terrible in the first half of his first game, better in the second half. Better in the second game than in the first. Won his third playoff game and advanced. That is the right trajectory. Kyler Murray has not yet done that. So if you want to argue Lamar should be ahead of him because of that, I think there's something to that. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Call or click today and find out if they can save you hundreds on your car insurance. All right, the preseason is in the books. Want to know if your team is making the playoffs? Axe Max is next, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. What if you could put the same type of rigor into that the pros leagues use for, you know, players into your hiring process? You can when you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's technology finds qualified candidates for your open roles and proactively presents them to you. And here's the thing, you can invite your top choices to apply for your job. It's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman. That's ZipRecruiter.com/KELLERMAN.
From camp to camp.
A lot of decisions got to be made with Daniel Jones. It's a make or break year for him. Saquon Barkley is back in the backfield. It's a big year for him.
Storming toward kickoff of the NFL season.
If he wants that fifth-year option or an extension to be picked up.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Tomorrow morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Also Sirius XM Channel 80. Got a couple lines open still for Axe Max. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
Axe Max.
By the way, prior to the report about Daniel Jones, Mac Jones, wishful thinking on my part, Mac Jones starting, he was 10-1 to win offensive rookie of the year, 10-1 against to win offensive rookie of the year. Now, I get it. You got a tight end, the likes of which no one's ever seen. He's going to get a lot of those passes that used to go to Daniel Jones in Atlanta. So I get it. Running backs not running behind great offensive lines come back, you know, players like Saquon Barkley. I get it. But when you talk about, I'm talking about rookies now. Look at the rookie quarterbacks. Who's playing on a team that has weapons with an offensive line? It's not Zach Wilson, not Trevor Lawrence, not Justin Fields. Trey Lance, if he gets the starts, right? So who's it going to be? A running back? In Pittsburgh, they don't have an offensive line for the back to run behind, even though they got a good one. I think Mac Jones, once he got named starter, is a damn good shot to win. He went from 10-1 to 5-1. Cut his odds in half. To win rookie, or doubled his odds to win rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year. Meantime, Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence is the consensus favorite to win the award, odds around 7-2. Man, I like those odds on Mac Jones over Trevor Lawrence right now as offensive rookie of the year. What about you? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Centel in North Carolina, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. What you got to ask me?
Yeah, what's up, Max? Huge fan.
Thank you.
I'm just curious question. Do you think the Redskins would be interested in picking up Cam Newton?
Who? Washington? Yeah, I think Washington is one of the possible destinations. It's interesting that Ron Rivera had a chance to pick Cam Newton up and passed. That tells you something. But if Fitzpatrick is your starter, it means you don't have a franchise quarterback. Is Fitzpatrick better than Cam? Maybe he is right now. I'm not convinced. Were I Washington? I want to kick the tires on Cam all day. Yep. I do think it's a possible destination for him. Josiah in Ohio, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
What's up, Max? So I know you were saying a potential landing spot for Cam. What about the team that actually beat him in the Super Bowl? What about Denver? I feel like that they are the most ready team in terms of a defense and actually a solid offense in terms of weapons.
I agree. I just don't know that Cam is better than Teddy Bridgewater right now. Like, unlike Fitzpatrick, I think they're both starters at times, Teddy Bridgewater and Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick's had a much longer career to show you that he should be a regular starter, and he hasn't been a regular starter. Bridgewater, okay, last year being the exception, it was a funky kind of year. When he's been given the chance to start, wins a lot of games. So I don't know that Cam is better than Bridgewater right now. What else you got?
Would you say in a consistent, like in a situation where they both had the same amount of time, you would take Bridgewater over Cam Newton?
At this point, look, here's the truth about Cam. Is his shoulder really okay? Is he throwing the ball the way he used to? I just want to remind people once again, when he got hurt against Pittsburgh a couple years ago, the Panthers were 6-2 at that moment, and Cam was completing about 70% of his passes. A little bit under, I think, at the time. He has not looked the same since then. And I wrote it off to a weird COVID year last year. No practice, no preseason, et cetera, et cetera. But the reports out of training camp were inconsistency still this year. Do I think in the long run, Cam could be better than Bridgewater? I do. I'm not as gone. I'm not over Cam the way a lot of people are. I think there is a chance he can still be very good. But I am in a distinct minority there. Jeff in New Mexico, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, thanks, Max, for taking my call. You think Pittsburgh Steelers will make the playoffs with that new offensive line we have?
Pittsburgh is going to be one of the three or four bubble teams to make the playoffs. Like they're going to have a shot. But when you count up the teams in the AFC, seven teams are going to make it, and three out of the AFC North could make it. And of those three teams, I would put Pittsburgh third. And the only reason I would have, they have a hellified defense. And they got Mike Tomlin as a coach. So I think they have a real fighting chance. But I like Cleveland more, and I like the Ravens a little more. That's in their own division. Now you look at the AFC East, you know, the Patriots are going to be in contention. The Dolphins should be in contention. The Bills should obviously be in contention. That's six teams already. You know, two divisions, six teams, only seven slots. So when by the time you get to Kansas City, and by the way, the Chargers, I think, are going to be much better this year. They're just, are there enough slots to go around to get Pittsburgh in there? So if they make the playoffs, they'll be fighting for their playoff lives toward the end, I believe. By the way, there's an interesting destination for Cam, backing up Ben Roethlisberger. Why not? Big, strong quarterbacks. And Roethlisberger, you know, has taken a pounding just like Cam has. Are you sure he's going to be there all year? Not a lot behind him. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, a shocker in New England, coming up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.